Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Well, today I'm ready to gross you out, because you know me. I have to share all of my weirdness with you. So here we go. Last week, I got up and did everything as usual. I fed 13 cats, both inside and out, scraped way too many litter boxes, finally had a cup of coffee and a bite to eat, and then headed to the shower. While the water was warming up, which for some reason always takes a while, I looked at my face in the magnifying mirror that I have in my bathroom, and I noticed something black on my eyelid, so I tried to rub it off. Except it wouldn't rub off. Eye makeup, I thought? No, because I really clean my face every night and I even use tea tree oil. A few more swipes and suddenly I felt sick because I knew what it was. Drum roll. It was a tick. Yes, you heard me correctly, a tick, albeit a small, teeny, tiny one. Oh. Well, before I had a chance to panic, I remembered an article I had for some reason just read a day or two before about ticks, their sudden prevalence, and how to remove them. So I reached for my tweezers and pulled that sucker, literally that sucker, pulled him out. I placed it on a piece of Kleenex and grabbed a magnifying glass that I keep on my desk to read the fine print on anything and everything that crosses my path. You know, how companies list ingredients and warnings in a font so small that you need superhuman eyes to decipher? Well, sure enough, it was a tick. Now, obviously, it hadn't been stuck to me for long because it wasn't filled with blood. Ugh. But it had all intentions to do just that. So, with that creepy experience still in my brain, and a PBS episode that I had for some reason watched the week earlier, seems all of that added up to this wonderful morning. I decided to do more research and I thought I would share some seriously important tick intel with you today because the tick population is rising. And here are a few reasons why, or so I'm told. Number one, climate change. Well, we should have known that because that just seems to be the catch-all for just about anything and everything. But apparently, the warmer it gets, the more the ticks have an environment to thrive. Another reason why is the change in bird flight patterns, which again is apparently tied to the change in weather, because birds fly to new areas that are now deemed warm enough for them to travel and live. And I guess as they travel, the ticks travel on the birds. The increase of deer population. Deer are a popular host for ticks, so it only makes sense that the more deer there are around, the more ticks will be around as well, because then they have plenty of hosts to feed on. And one of the episodes I watched was talking about the millions of ticks that live on deer. It's just an incredible amount of numbers. So when you look at a deer, don't think you're seeing a lovely deer. Imagine how many ticks are on that creature. More suburbs. New neighborhoods are popping up everywhere and reaching further and further out into the wilderness. And all this construction causes confusion among the wildlife as they begin to then appear in the neighborhoods they once called home. This wildlife will have ticks on them, bringing them around the homes. And trust me, ticks aren't picky when choosing a host. So if they are around you or your dog, they have no problem latching on for a meal. So right now, I am going to tell you everything that you never wanted to know about ticks and how they hunt you and how to avoid them. your complete guide to the horrifying reality of tick season. There was an interesting article in Popular Science, I think it was June, by Sarah Chodesh. It says, you're probably already a little afraid of ticks. Sure, there are plenty of more upsetting creatures dwelling deep in the ocean or lurking in dank caves, but you're unlikely to have to actually deal with any of them, and you are certainly not going to run into any deep-sea nightmare monster while you're just strolling around minding your own business. Ticks, on the other hand, are everywhere. Ticks carry over a dozen diseases, literally inflate with blood, drill tiny holes in your skin, and oh, did I mention they actually actively hunt for you? So there's that. You probably thought that ticks were just kind of there. Maybe they sometimes fall and land on your body, or you happen to brush by them on a tree. You assumed that the natural world didn't have it out for you, but you are so very wrong. Ticks may be essentially blind, but they're not just idly waiting in the woods hoping to accidentally drink your blood. The moment you enter their territory, you become their prey. They are obligate parasites. They can't survive long without your blood, and that's a powerful motivator to find a warm body to feed off. Even up against a tiny, slightless foe, you don't stand much of a chance. They've been around since the Cretaceous period, about 145 million years ago, and they have perfected their approach. Prevention only works to a limited extent, and they aren't there by accident. It's true that you often get exposed to ticks by brushing up against them, but it's not like they're just hanging out on a leaf enjoying a sunny day when you happen to walk by. They are laying there in wait. At the end of a tick's front legs sits a tiny structure called Haller's organ. This little sensory pit detects chemicals and odors in the air. And while you can wear all of the mosquito repellent and deodorant that you want, you cannot hide the one signature scent that ticks use to hunt you. And that is your breath. With every exhalation, you release carbon dioxide into the air. And boy, does that sweet CO2 get ticks going. Some of them will literally run toward the scent of a potential host. And yes, they can't run very fast on a human scale, but the mental image of a little bugger racing towards you on its clicking, clattering legs is still somehow upsetting. They can also pick up other scents like ammonia, so peeing in the woods only makes things worse. And as soon as they smell you, they're coming for you. Then they do this arm-waving thing called questing. The most any tick species can actually see is vague shapes, so they can't exactly run and jump at you, but they can position themselves on leaves and branches, extend their prickly legs out, and wait for you to walk by. And when you brush against them, they board the human train headed straight for Blood Town. And once they're on you, you're not likely to notice them. Some tick species will latch on wherever they've landed. Others will roam around your body looking for skin better suited to their needs. They are especially fond of the area around your ears, where your epidermis is thin and easy to puncture. This is why you often find ticks on your dog's head. It's their favorite easy access point. Now, you're probably not going to see or feel these teensy-weensy bodies crawling up your arm, but you can make the task a little easier by wearing long-sleeve shirts and pants while outside. And maybe tuck your pants inside a pair of boots. And a hat will help protect your head, where it's especially easy to lose a tick in your hair. And that's where I think I went wrong. The night before, I had taken a shower, washed my hair. My hair was still wet. I went downstairs to watch TV to settle in for the evening. And as I was heading toward the TV room, I looked out the dining room window and I saw some baby robins in a nest in the tree. And they were floundering about, and underneath I saw a cat just waiting for these little baby robins to fall. So I grabbed a couple of umbrellas, went outside, turned one upside down, and hung it right underneath the nest so that if these babies fell out of the nest, they would fall into the open umbrella and not on the ground where the cat could get them. And then I opened up the other umbrella and shoved it in the tree so that the cat couldn't jump up into the tree. And I'm betting that when I was out there that night, that one of those ticks somehow landed in my wet hair and wandered about all night and made its way to my eyelid by the next morning. How sick is that? Ugh, Well, anyway, if a tick manages to attach itself to your skin, you won't notice. I didn't notice. Because they inject you with a little anesthetic first. How kind. You'll blissfully remain unaware as they use their little mouths to drill into you and insert their hypostome, which is basically a tiny harpoon straw they use to suck blood out of you. Ugh. So is there some place that's safe? Nope. Ticks are everywhere. Not a single place in the continental United States is safe from ticks' tiny jaws. The brown dog tick lives in every state, and the other half dozen species have overlapping territories all over. The Southeast and Mid-Atlantic are the epicenters of the tick world. However, they have the warm, humid climates that help these little arachnids thrive. Now, some species prefer woods. Others like tall grasses or shrubs. Still more prefer the dark, damp environment of a cave. The point is, they are all over the place. And they can spread easily because they hitch rides on much larger creatures. I mentioned that the increasing deer and human populations have helped them expand their territory. The warming climate means they're able to thrive in more and more places. So you're wondering, what's so bad about a little bite? Well, plenty. A single bite can carry multiple disease risks. Each tick species tends to carry certain blood-borne illnesses, but they don't just limit themselves to one illness. A tick can harbor multiple bacteria and viruses. Here's a small sampling of the ailments you can catch and some of the symptoms you'll be treated to. There's tularemia, fever, painful lymph nodes, possibly life-threatening pneumonia. There's Powassan virus, inflammation of the brain and membranes surrounding the central nervous system, fever, headache, vomiting, seizures. Then there's the one we all know, Lyme disease, a rash, headache, heart palpitations, severe joint pain, facial palsy, which is loss of muscle control on one side, inflammation of the brain and the spinal cord. There's ehrlichiosis, fever, muscle pain, vomiting, confusion, headache. We've heard of this one, Rocky Mountain spotted fever, a rash, fever, vomiting, abdominal pain. And that's not to mention one called the alpha-gal syndrome, alpha-gal, which results in a lifelong allergy to red meat. That is true. I looked that one up too. Now here's something I learned when I recently watched this PBS special about ticks. Deer ticks are not born with Lyme disease. That's right. Deer ticks do not carry Lyme disease when they're hatched. They become carriers after feeding on common rodents, including white-footed field mice. Field mice start the Lyme disease chain because they carry the pathogen that leads to the disease. When a deer tick feeds on a carrier mouse, it ingests the pathogen and becomes infected. So here's the solution I saw on this television show. Genetically engineer them so that their immune response prevents them from being infected. The idea is to take mice that are naturally immune, identify the DNA that makes them immune, and put them all into one genetically engineered strain of mice. Then, when the genetically engineered mice mate with the native mice, their offspring would also be immune to Lyme disease. And over time, this would reduce the prevalence of the disease. Now, this experiment is occurring on the rural Massachusetts islands of Nantucket and Martha's Vineyard, where the tick population has exploded. This is a crazy number. 40% of Nantucket's 10,000 year-round residents have either had Lyme disease or are currently afflicted. Crazy. So now a scientist at MIT is turning to the infected white-footed mouse in an attempt to engineer a long-term solution to the problem. How is that for information you won't find anywhere else? All right, enough about the mice and genetically engineering them. Let's get back to business. What to do if you find a tick on you? If you find a tick, the first step is always to panic slightly at how gross they are. Now, step two is to frantically look around for something to get it off right now. The best tool in this case are forceps, which are kind of like tweezers with a locking mechanism, but if you don't have forceps, you can go for a good set of tweezers. You want to grip the tick firmly as close as you can to your skin. What you're trying to do is remove that tiny mouthpiece that's currently embedded in your body. Now, hopefully the tick is still pretty small. The bigger it is, the longer it's been feeding, and the greater the chance that it's already transmitted a disease to you. Either way, You shouldn't squeeze the bloodthirsty bug. You want to grip it firmly and tightly by the head. Now, this will probably hurt a little. And they say that if it doesn't hurt, you've probably done it wrong. Go back and try to get that little mouthpiece out because it's probably still in there. If you can't, don't worry about it too much. Just leave it alone and let your skin heal over it. And then be sure to put an antiseptic over it. I put tea tree over mine, some kind of alcohol, wash it, wash your hands, and be sure to then sterilize your tweezers as well. Well, now comes the real fun. Tick-borne diseases can take weeks to show symptoms, so be vigilant and look for any rashes on your body. If you have any unusual symptoms, even if you think you're just coming down with a summer cold, go to the doctor. This is not the time to suffer heroically in silence. So if you notice anything unusual, fever, lethargy, and especially that telltale bullseye rash, please get to a doctor right away. Now, all bites do not result in a rash, so you really do have to be vigilant. Usually a course of antibiotics can keep you safe, but the trick is just be mindful, be on the lookout for any kind of unusual symptoms. Then grab your tick and go visit your doctor. So now let's talk about how to protect yourself from getting bitten in the first place. First of all, remove your clothes. Don't step a foot in your house if you've been in any area with ticks. Take off your shoes and socks, shake them outside, remove as many articles of clothing as you can before going inside, and then put them in the dryer, a hot dryer, for at least 10 minutes to kill any ticks that may have been hanging on. And then take a shower. If you've been outdoors, especially in areas prone to ticks, such as heavily wooded areas, grassy or brushy places, or even yards with piles of leaves, it's a good idea to hop in the shower to wash off any ticks that may be crawling on your body. I'd wash your hair too and then dry it with a hot dryer. This will prevent them from having time to latch onto your skin for a bite. In fact, the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention states that showering within 2 hours of being outside has been shown to reduce your risk of getting Lyme disease. So that's important. Next, you want to scan your body. Ticks are tiny arachnids that can be easy to miss if you're not looking closely. That's right, they are an arachnid, like a spider or a scorpion. They have 8 legs. Count them if you can. They have 4 pairs of legs, no antenna, and importantly, they don't fly or jump. They're not like mosquitoes or flies. Now, it's important to check for ticks daily and not just with your eyes. They're really so small and maybe easier to feel than to see. Meticulously look over every part of your body, keeping an eye for little black dots, and run your hand along your skin to feel for something that doesn't belong. And be sure to check locations where ticks can hide easily, like the scalp, hairline, underarms, waist, behind the knees, and the genitals. Oh, how scary is that? Now, if you spot one, remove it immediately. It's important to remove a tick from your skin as soon as you can. That's because they harbor diseases, as we mentioned. And if left untreated, the infection can spread to the joints, the heart, and the nervous system. So we mentioned, use tweezers to grab the head of the tick, which is the part buried or attached to the skin, then pull straight out. Now, you may want to soften the skin with warm water to help remove the tick, and then gently wash the area with soap and water once the tick is extracted. Now, that sounds relatively easy, but these creatures are so teeny, who can tell the head from a rear end? Especially if it's in a hard-to-reach or hard-to-see place on your body. Just get it off is what your brain is screaming to you. Next, you want to keep the tick. It's important to get the tick identified to find out if it could carry a disease. Some ticks are more prone to disease transmission than others. Tape it to an index card, bring it to your doctor. I saved mine on a piece of tissue, sealed it in a Ziploc baggie, and then I popped it into the freezer. Hopefully, I will never have to refer back to it again. As we mentioned, pay attention to your skin. Undetected ticks typically stay attached to the skin for between 48 and 72 hours after biting, then they detach and move on. And that's why it's important to recognize the signs that you may have been unknowingly bitten. You may see a small black and blue mark, like the skin was pinched. The area usually takes on a deep red or purplish appearance and then lightens away from the center. There may be some swelling, and as the area heals, it may become itchy. Look for physical symptoms. Many of the symptoms overlap, such as fever, chills, muscle or joint aches, pains, headache, and fatigue. They typically appear 7 to 10 days after being bitten, so mark it on your calendar. So you remember and contact a doctor as soon as you start to feel sick. Now, you always want to dress for protection when you go outside. Cover as much skin as possible, wear long sleeves, pants, high socks, a hat. Use an insect repellent they suggest with at least 20% DEET. I hate the idea of using DEET, but I guess if you know that you're going to a tick-infested area, it's better, I guess, than getting bit. Avoid tick-friendly areas. No matter how well you try to cover up your skin, it's still a good idea to steer clear of places that ticks like to reside, such as tall grass and brush. And if you're on a hiking path, try not to stray. Even though they don't jump or fly, they can climb onto you when you brush by them. And treat your dog. Dogs are very susceptible to tick bites and can bring them into your home, even if your body and clothing is tick-free. You may want to invest in sprays, collars, or special shampoos that can help protect against ticks. Well, now there's a little bit of good news I'll share with you. That is, if you pay close attention to your skin. Transmission rates vary by the disease and the tick, but in general, it's not instantaneous. Certain ticks might begin to transmit a disease called anaplasmosis within 8 hours, but others take longer. In fact, the CDC says that if you remove a tick within 24 hours, your chance of getting Lyme disease are pretty low. In most cases, it takes 36 to 48 hours before the bacteria that causes Lyme disease can infect you. So there is a good chance that you won't actually come down with an illness, even if you're bitten by an infected tick. Now, although ticks don't have an official off season, the summer is peak Lyme disease season, especially in the northeastern part of the United States. That's mainly because the nymphs, or the non-adult ticks, are in full swing. But the deer tick is also active year-round, including the winter. So we always have to be mindful, but especially in the hot summer months. So if you are hanging around outside this summer, scan yourself every 2 to 3 hours, even if you're still outdoors. And remember, some of these bugs can be really small. So if you've just finished a hike and notice, say, a new freckle on your arm, it's worth a second glance. And unless you're a contortionist, you may need help checking your back and your behind, so you may need to find a willing partner. And that may not be so hard to do. As country music star Brad Paisley's song goes, I'd like to check you for ticks.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Hi there, I'm Gina Murphy-Darling, the host of Mrs. Green's World, and I would really love for you to become a part of that world. We talk about things like the faceless villain of climate change, our compromised food supply, and about how to become a conscious consumer. But it's not all bad news. We educate, we inspire, we engage. We always leave you with some small steps you can take to make a difference for this great planet of ours and help you live the healthy life you deserve. Please visit MrsGreensWorld.com to learn more and become a part of our world.
Well, there you have it. Everything you never wanted to know about ticks. It just goes to show you that no matter how clean you are at a tick risk. I mean, if there's one thing I learned from my mom, and that's how to clean a house, and especially with cats. I vacuum nearly every day, dust twice a week or more often, clean litter boxes, seriously, at least 3 times each day, always have clean sheets, mop the kitchen floors. I mean, it's actually ridiculous. Yet weird critters can still find you. So lesson learned. You are not safe from ticks. If you have deer or other wildlife that pass through your yard, you stand a good chance at having ticks in your yard. If you have dogs or cats that go outside, ticks can hitch a ride on them and then onto you. So please take today's conversation seriously, because the health consequences can be quite serious as well. All right, with that, you know where we're going. We are out of time for today. But we can still get together if you invite me to speak to your group, your club, church, association. It doesn't matter really, because the topic of healthcare, healthcare safety, hospital safety, and the like are universal. You will land in a hospital at some point in time, either as the patient or a visitor. And either way, dangers lurk. Maybe not ticks, but other just as life-threatening goodies, such as secondary infections, medication errors, miscommunication, malnutrition, dehydration, and I could go on, but I won't. So give me a call or email me, and let's discuss how I can help keep you and your group safe during any and every healthcare or hospital encounter. Call and leave a message on my radio studio line. The number is 440-725-5462. That is 440-725-5462. Or email me at pat@speakupandstayalive.com. All spelled out. pat@speakupandstayalive.com. Okay, I gotta go check for ticks. So I'll see you next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. Until then, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week, free from blood-sucking parasites. I am Pat Rulo, and I am the voice for informed choice. Are you in the market to purchase a home? Are you thinking of selling yours? Well, I've personally worked with the McCaskey team. They're conveniently located on Chardon Square. Give them a call, 440-773-5542. 440-773-5542. Ask for my friends Dan or Terry, or visit their website, McCaskeyTeam.com. That's McCaskeyTeam.com. McCaskeyTeam.com.